For those of you who have a device and you want to follow along, this tiny URL will take you to a Google Doc that has sort of a list of all places that we're going to today and all of the links and sort of the outline, I guess, of the day. So you can go to that link. I have it open here, so I'll be going into it and editing a bit as we go through. If you don't have a computer, if you could have a piece of paper and pencil handy, we're going to be doing some things that you're going to need that for. Okay, so how literate are your students? The question is being a little bit rhetorical, because really what I'm asking is, you know, what does it mean to be literate? I'll leave it at that. What does it mean to be literate? So I'm going to start off with sharing one of these short YouTube videos with you. And we're actually going to be listening to it or watching it twice. So the first thing you can just put your pens down, sit back, relax, and enjoy, or not, depending on how you personally respond to it. And that's all I'm going to say, and we're going to get started. And hopefully everything is still working properly as it was. Oh, sorry, that's not the right thing.
Special thanks to Lee Lefevre of Commoncraft for granting permission to use his brilliantly simple design. This, my friends, is a true story. A student at 21st Century High School is studying American psychology as part of his contemporary issues class. But it could be any topic. He attends class 3 days a week, 2 days online. He doesn't have a textbook. His teacher almost never lectures. She is a student of connectivism, a theory that presumes that learning occurs as part of a social network of many diverse connections and ties. This network is made possible through various tools of technology. The tools themselves are not as important as the connections made possible by them. This teacher empowers her students to take control of their learning and make new connections with others who will strengthen the learning process. Before our student embarks on his learning adventure, he must spend some time building his personal learning network. He practices finding valid websites about the American psyche. He is taught how to assess and validate information to ensure its credibility. He uses Google Scholar and his school's library database to search for scholarly, peer-reviewed articles on his topic. When he finds a website or article that is worthy, he posts it to his social bookmarking site, a place where people share URLs they have bookmarked on specific topics. He finds other people who have bookmarked sites about the American psyche, and he shares the sites he has found. Next, he searches for blogs that others have written about the American psyche. He understands that blogs often reflect opinions rather than cold hard facts. Based on what he has learned so far about the American psyche, he can choose to comment on these blogs and offer his own informed point of view for discussion. In order to manage these blogs, he uses a reader to subscribe to them. That way, he can tell when a blogger posts an update. Once our student builds a knowledge base, he creates his own blog to post reflections about what he has learned. His classmates and virtually anyone in the world can visit his blog and comment on his informed opinions. 21st Century Student loves his MP3 player, but there's more on that device than his favorite music. He subscribes to a number of audio and video podcasts that support his learning. Through iTunes U, he has access to thousands of courses recorded by actual professors from Stanford, Yale, Cambridge, Open University, and countless others. In fact, he finds a lecture from a course called Social Psychology offered at UC Berkeley. He literally has access to the best professors in the world. While researching his topics, he stumbles upon a documentary about the American psyche. A Dutch-born Canadian immigrant filmmaker crosses America to interview Americans about their homeland. Our student emails the filmmaker, who agrees to video conference with the class to discuss the documentary. By the way, our student knows a few tricks for finding experts. He also knows that it never hurts to ask. People usually love to share their knowledge and expertise, especially with students. As a few weeks pass, our student is busy reading the up-to-the-minute virtual textbook he has created in his social bookmarking account and an RSS reader. His learning project culminates in the creation of his choice. Perhaps a video he posts to a video sharing site, an American Psyche Wiki from which others can learn, or a voice thread to which others can comment. Regardless of the medium, he is sharing his organization of this knowledge with the rest of the world so so the next student of the American Psyche can learn from his hard work. The 21st Century Student Network includes a wide range of connections, each one a new learning opportunity. There is more to connected learning than what you see in this project. Think of it as just the beginning. Information management will be a major challenge in the 21st century. RSS makes it possible for anyone to subscribe to just about any changing content on the internet. New synchronous communication tools are emerging nearly every day. All of these tools make it easier for our student to connect with new contacts and learn effectively from those he already knows. So, why does he even need a teacher, you ask? Good question. She is the one who teaches him how to build this network and take advantage of learning opportunities. She offers guidance when he gets stuck. She shows him how to communicate properly and ask respectfully for help from experts. She shows him how to differentiate between good information and propaganda, how to vet a resource, how to turn a web search into a scavenger hunt, and get excited when he finds that pearl of content. She helps him organize those mountains of information. In her heart, she hopes that when he leaves her class, he'll maintain his learning network and use it to navigate his future and creatively solve the world's problems. These are the skills he will need in the 21st century. This has been a Connectivism production.
So what I'd like you to do is just share with your, say hi to your neighbor. And in groups of two or three, however many it's convenient for, just to quickly respond to this video at an emotional level. We'll talk about its sort of content, but how do you feel when you see this movie? So just share that with your neighbor. A couple minutes. One word I heard as I was walking around was overwhelming. But I wonder if you can throw out other kinds of responses that you and your partners have identified. What else did people feel? You don't have to feel them all, but just what were some of the feelings?
Feeling of redundancy.
Of what?
Redundant, being redundant, like no use for teachers.
Oh, redundant, okay.
Thanks, teacher.
Exciting.
Yeah, impressive.
Okay. I will just say it right now. I'm not going to worry too much about my spelling, okay? I'll fix it later.
It's really just your typing.
It's really just my typing, that's right. Sorry, did I miss anything else? Fascinated, exciting?
Anxiety, somebody said.
Anxiety, oh yes.
Impressive. How about semantics? Isn't it all just semantics? Before we used to talk about being teachers and whatnot, now we're learning incubators. And we're a change agent. So we're a new way of thinking about the new world.
Right, okay, so it's just new words saying, looking at it differently, but we're still doing the same thing.
Critical thinking.
Empowering.
The wider academic community. Mm-hmm. Outside the classroom.
Unconnected to the local community and personal reality.
Unconnected local community?
Not bridged to your immediate reality.
Personal, i.e. immediate, is that?
Non-kinesthetic.
Not kinesthetic. Ugh. Ah, you know what I mean. I'll fix it later. Okay. Excellent. We'll stop there. I'm sure there's sort of other things that came up, but all of these sort of responses are perfectly normal, and probably we all have varying amounts of the different ones. And first of all, this is not an ESL example. So we have to keep that in mind, that I'm not really showing this to you to talk about the specific language skills and that sort of thing, because obviously this was a real life example that this teacher did in a high school. So we're talking, you know, grade 10, 11 or something like that, that this activity happened in. Now, there may have been some English language learners in that class, but it was not an ESL lesson. So keeping that in mind, there's what I'm trying to get at here is, and also the other qualification I'd put on this, is this takes a very specific perspective on learning in the 21st century, a connectivism sort of approach. And that does not necessarily, is not the only way to look at these things. I've just chosen this as a place for us to jump off in getting started on our discussion. So I do want to qualify that this is not what I'm expecting you to do with your students. It is just one way of looking at it, but it helps us to start to define and identify what are the skills that we're talking about when we talk about being literate in today's world. Now, you've probably heard all kinds of names that it can be referred to. Multiliteracies, the new literacies, 21st century literacies, digital literacy, visual literacy, computer literacy, technology, you know. I mean, we've got tons of vocabulary out here, all trying to redefine or put a spin on literacy, and we really don't have anything that is accepted across the board as being a standard. And we are not talking about something that replaces traditional literacy, for lack of another word, the reading, writing, and arithmetic, which forms the basis of all of this. So while some of you are going to be working with people who are just learning the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic, even while they're doing that, they're doing it within a context of the 21st century. So what I'm trying to do today is try to help tease out of all of this, what exactly are the skills that we are trying to move our students, and I would say ourselves, towards in terms of being fully functioning people in today's society. And then, so the first part of what we're going to do is we're going to be teasing that out, and then in the second half we'll be looking at how does that apply to our ESL classes with adults, beginner, intermediate, and advanced, okay? So what I'd like us to do we're going to go back to the video, and this time, if you can, this is my computer, not the projector. Stop just a minute. This time, as we listen to it, I'd like you to be listening for the kinds of knowledge, skills, attitudes, beliefs, or whatever it is that the student is needing to either have or needs to develop
in order to participate in this project. Okay? Now, I'm not talking technical skills. So the fact that they use Skype, that doesn't matter. Okay? But what are the sort of broader skills that are involved, aside from the technology, aside from the actual learning to use the mouse and navigate and all that sort of thing, but what are the more conceptual skills and knowledge that they have to have, or that this project helps them to develop? Okay? And so if you could just be writing those down in a list, if you have your computer, into a Word document or something, so that you'll have them in your head when we come back to it. So once more, wrong way. This is what I want.
Special thanks to Wee Lefevre of Common Craft for granting permission to use his brilliantly simple design. This, my friends, is a true story. A student at 21st Century High School is studying American psychology as part of his contemporary issues class. But it could be any topic. He attends class 3 days a week, 2 days online. He doesn't have a textbook. His teacher almost never lectures. She is a student of connectivism, a theory that presumes that learning occurs as part of a social network of many diverse connections and ties. This network is made possible through various tools of technology. The tools themselves are not as important as the connections made possible by them. This teacher empowers her students to take control of their learning and make new connections with others who will strengthen the learning process. Before our student embarks on his learning adventure, he must spend some time building his personal learning network. He practices finding valid websites about the American psyche. He is taught how to assess and validate information to ensure its credibility. He uses Google Scholar and his school's library database to search for scholarly, peer-reviewed articles on his topic. When he finds a website or article that is worthy, he posts it to his social bookmarking site, a place where people share URLs they have bookmarked on specific topics. He finds other people who have bookmarked sites about the American psyche, and he shares the sites he has found. Next, he searches for blogs that others have written about the American psyche. He understands that blogs often reflect opinions rather than cold hard facts. Based on what he has learned so far about the American psyche, he can choose to comment on these blogs and offer his own informed point of view for discussion. In order to manage these blogs, he uses a reader to subscribe to them. That way, he can tell when a blogger posts an update. Once our student builds a knowledge base, he creates his own blog to post reflections about what he has learned. His classmates and virtually anyone in the world can visit his blog and comment on his informed opinions. 21st Century Student loves his MP3 player, but there's more on that device than his favorite music. He subscribes to a number of audio and video podcasts that support his learning. Through iTunes U, he has access to thousands of courses recorded by actual professors from Stanford, Yale, Cambridge, Open University, and countless others. In fact, he finds a lecture from a course called Social Psychology offered at UC Berkeley. He literally has access to the best professors in the world. While researching his topics, he stumbles upon a documentary about the American psyche. A Dutch-born Canadian immigrant filmmaker crosses America to interview Americans about their homeland. Our student emails the filmmaker, who agrees to video conference with the class to discuss the documentary. By the way, our student knows a few tricks for finding experts. He also knows that it never hurts to ask. People usually love to share their knowledge and expertise, especially with students. As a few weeks pass, our student is busy reading the up-to-the-minute virtual textbook he has created in his social bookmarking account and an RSS reader. His learning project culminates in the creation of his choice. Perhaps a video he posts to a video sharing site, an American Psyche Wiki from which others can learn, or a voice thread to which others can comment. Regardless of the medium, he is sharing his organization of this knowledge with the rest of the world so the next student of the American Psyche can learn from his hard work. The 21st Century Student Network includes a wide range of connections, each one a new learning opportunity. There is more to connected learning than what you see in this project. Think of it as just the beginning. Information management will be a major challenge in the 21st century. RSS makes it possible for anyone to subscribe to just about any changing content on the internet. New synchronous communication tools are emerging nearly every day. All of these tools make it easier for our student to connect with new contacts and learn effectively from those he already knows. Why does he even need a teacher, you ask? Good question. She is the one who teaches him how to build this network and take advantage of learning opportunities. She offers guidance when he gets stuck. She shows him how to communicate properly and ask respectfully for help from experts. She shows him how to differentiate between good information and propaganda, how to vet a resource, how to turn a web search into a scavenger hunt, and get excited when he finds that pearl of content. She helps him organize those mountains of information. In her heart, she hopes that when he leaves her class, he'll maintain his learning network and use it to navigate his future and creatively solve the world's problems. These are the skills he will need in the 21st century. This has been a Connectivism production.
Okay, I'd like you to again turn to a partner, and this time it can be just two people or three if we're not evenly numbered. And I'd like you to compare your lists of skills and just sort of see what your partner has that you didn't have. And again, this will be quick, this will be short, so 3 to 5 minutes to do this.
Thank you.
Okay, can we come back together?
We are on fire. We're on fire.
This is awesome. See, look, I can't even get them to stop. Okay, so what we want to do is sort of share some of this all together so that we can all benefit from all of that. Well, so I can benefit from the discussions that are going on. I'm starting to wonder if I'm missing something. What I'm going to do is in our Google Doc, I'm just going to, again, take down some of your ideas. And if we could just kind of go around the room, and if every little group could give me one skill or knowledge group that you identified, and then we'll get everybody to give us something, and if you can be adding them to your own list if it's something that you've missed. So can we start over here? One thing that you know that you put on your that you talked about.
Skills. Let's see. Evaluating information.
Evaluating information. Yes. Okay. Next group.
He has no textbook, so he has to be highly organized to find the information again that he's gathered.
Okay. As I said, I'll get spelling later. To find information. Okay.
To retrieve.
To retrieve. Okay. Can I just, I'll put and, okay? Okay. Next group?
Decision making.
Decision making, yes. Next one, behind?
Risk taker.
Ah. Okay. Next group?
Researcher.
Okay, so I'm going to, instead of that, I'm going to say a research skills. Is that okay? Okay. Last table?
We said protocol, like how the course is actually organized and what that means to be inside the classroom and outside the classroom. Lens is not summarizing this very well.
Of the
etiquette, ways to go about.
Structure of the class? Sort of, are you talking about
procedures.
In-person
procedures.
On procedures? Okay.
Procedures.
Okay, so the protocols and procedures, he needs to know protocols and procedures of how the course actually works. Gotcha. Thank you. Other, next group? Did you?
Problem solving skills.
Problem solving skills. Excellent. Next group?
Thinking skills.
Thank you. Next one.
Collection of facts before documenting his opinion.
Collection of facts before documenting opinion. Thank you. The table behind you first.
I think as well we have to teach them to distinguish facts from opinion.
Okay.
Manage time and materials well.
Thank you.
Appropriate communication.
Can you say just a little bit more appropriate in what way? Or
digital communication.
So choosing the appropriate communication method or way to communicate?
Way to communicate.
Okay. Can I say tool?
Yeah.
Okay. Next.
Being able to access professors without physically going to the universities, gaining knowledge from them.
Okay. I'm going to put in finding experts. Oops, that's supposed to be an M. Thank you. How about if we go towards the back from here?
There'll be nothing left.
Maybe not.
I'm just teasing.
Did you have anything that's not up there?
Sure we do.
Okay.
Go to the back.
No, no, we're starting here. Don't want to leave you out.
Apparently we need to be assertive.
Is that one of your skills?
Language and vocabulary.
Okay. Next one.
Pragmatic skills.
Yes.
Working independently.
Ability to work independent. Ah. Okay. Next one. Who's next?
Self-discipline.
Ah. And? Anything different? Oh, you were in that group? Okay. How about the last table? The last group? Yep. Did you have anything different?
Maybe time management.
Time management. I think we have that. Oh, here. Manage time and materials. Yeah. Another?
You can't do any of this if you can't read what you're doing. So reading skills.
Reading skills.
Then you use a social activity.
And comprehension.
Okay, so if we say learning is a social activity.
Community activity.
Right, okay, so they need to have community, yeah. And with reading, somebody else added to that?
Comprehension.
Comprehension, skimming, scanning. Okay, my typing is finished. You get the idea. You can add to the list. Okay, so what a huge list. And this is the list of skills and knowledge that you came up with without even touching on technology. Because really, the point is not that they need to learn technology for technology's sake. We need to learn to use the technology to accomplish these goals. This is what it is to be literate, is to be able to do all of these things. And the tools we use today may change. So I found, did you hear early this week that Microsoft has purchased Skype? So it's now going to be embedded into Microsoft Live. And those of us who are not on Microsoft Live, what are we going to have? Well, I don't know. Okay, so it might not be Skype. It might be some other kind of synchronous communication tool that's going to be replacing Skype as the major tool for that. The tools are going to change. So although they are important, and there's a whole learning curve involved in them, they are not the end in themselves. And I guess that's sort of what I'm trying to get at today, is we need to keep in mind what our ultimate purpose is, what are the skills that we're trying to develop, and then we can pick and choose the technologies that are going to be appropriate on any given day. And keeping in mind that the tools will change, and one of the things we have to be able to do is learn independently and be able to always be learning, the lifelong learning idea. You won't survive in this century if you can't pick up a new tool. And that's something we all, whether we like it or not, something we all have to learn how to do. And that's part of being literate in this society. At least I would argue it is. So what I'm going to do is, now that you've got that list and you can be adding to your list, I'm going to give you just that little bit of I'm going to give you a little bit of sort of theory of what different people are saying about the more than the traditional literacy. Now, you've all pointed out that in order to do any of this, you have to be able to read. You have to be able to write, and you have to be able to do some basic numeracy for a lot of activities. All right? Those are still the basics. This 21st century literacy does not eliminate or replace that idea of basic literacy. However, I think the challenge is for us to broaden what that means. So you'll see, I'm going to show you about four different ways that people are looking at this, and there's no definitive answer. So you can pull out of it what fits and makes sense for you, and you can add to your lists and edit them as you wish. Okay, so 1996 is the first time I heard about it, and this was pretty early on with this whole idea of multi or multiple literacies, and the New London group called it multiple literacies. And they identified two aspects of multi-literacies, or two components that are at play. One of them being that in today's society we have multiple modes of communication. And so no longer is it just, you know, text that we're dealing with, but we have, with the internet, we have the hypertext, we have video, we have audio, we have visual, all these different ways of carrying meaning between us. And so we have to be able to read more than just reading text. All right? So that's part of it, that we have all these different modes. And the other part of it is that our world is becoming global. Our society is global, with all of these different kinds of technologies that are allowing us to talk in an instant with our colleagues and friends and family across the world. There's this, it opens up all kinds of challenges. Cross-cultural communication. More people speak English as a second language than they do speak it as a first language. So when you get into global conversations, you're likely to have a whole bunch of people from various backgrounds all speaking language, a second language, a different kind of English, because there are all these different international Englishes now, for example. Okay, so the globalization brings with it all of these cultural sort of components, plus we're dealing with different mediums. So they call this multi-literacies, the ability to use these tools in these contexts effectively. And then when they talked about the pedagogy that comes from that, they said that we have to focus on those different modes of representation. So we need to become literate in video and visual literacy and all of those kinds of things, more than just language. We need to be able to learn how to read visuals. and then they will differ depending on that context that we're using it with. Who's the audience that you're writing to, or who is the people that you're interacting with? And somebody, you know, in your list, you talked about it in terms of sort of the etiquette and the, my God, I forgot the word again. I did this morning too. Oh, come on. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing. What's that word for? Not the protocol, but, you know, pragmatics. Thank you. It came to me. Okay. You know, it's about pragmatics now is important to know what's pragmatically correct in this context, what's pragmatically correct in this context, in a face-to-face versus online when you're dealing with email. It just expands it, is what it's talking about. So that's the New London Group, 1996, so 15 years ago. Something else you'll see it called is the New Literacy, and this was put out by David Warlick, and from the three R's he changed it to the four E's. And what he said, so we've got our reading, writing, arithmetic, but what the New Literacy does is it just expands the areas that refers to. So reading expands into what he calls exposing knowledge. So you have to be able to read it, but it also you have to be able to find it. You have to be able to evaluate it and make selection about it, and there's so much more to it than just decoding, right? Arithmetic, he talks about how with math skills, it's not just using math skills, but in order to participate in this society, you have to be able to apply that information. So you need to be able to take the ability to do math, for example, and extrapolate that into, okay, I want my video to be this size, I want it to be for the web, I want it to be for this, so what resolution do I need? And there's numbers. In fact, there's numbers in everything digital. It's all zeros and ones. And so understanding some of how that works makes us more competent in using digital tools. He's not. I don't think he's saying that we all have to become computer programmers, but he might be suggesting that it's not a bad idea to kind of understand a little bit about how the computer works. We can argue with his thing. I'm just telling you what he's saying. Writing then expands into being able to express your ideas compellingly in for your audience. And in these days, to do it compellingly, you would need to incorporate multimodal, multimedia, depending, not always. I guess the bottom line of all of this is being able to know when to use what's appropriate. And he adds a fourth, and this is the ethics. Okay, so today more than ever before, things like copyright, digital citizenship, how to be, stay safe, deal with privacy, all of those kinds of issues around the communication and information technology society that we live in. Okay, so that was David Warlick in 2004, trying to describe for us what the new literacy might look like. I went to the Wikipedia. I was curious to see what did the Wikipedia's current entry say about literacies or multiliteracies and new literacies. So I found an entry under new literacies, and I've included it because it helped me to sort of identify that there really are two branches of research and study going on in this, just for your information. One of them takes a look at the new literacies from a more cognitive and language learning perspective. So they take a look at what's different between reading from a piece of paper and reading online. How is that, what's different involved in terms of the skills that the reader is engaging in and needs to develop? So they're looking at it at a very sort of skill, well, they're all skills, but that sort of language learning level. Then there's another branch that are more looking at it as a social practice. Literacy as a social practice of communicating, of being able to interact and communicate and connect with people and how that's done. And they make a comment about how the new literacies are so much more interactive, distributed, and participatory. That's the nature of being literate today, is being able to contribute to this culture of participation. So that's what the Wikipedia had to say. In 2005, the 21st Century Literacy Summit occurred, and they gathered some sort of theorists together in California, and they spent some time trying to figure out what does it mean to be literate. They came up with this description. So they said that 21st century literacies, or literacy, is a set of abilities and skills where the oral, the visual, and the digital all come together. And that they include, so that you need to understand the power of images and sounds. You need to be able to recognize and use that power, and to do it in a way that you're manipulating and transforming digital media. Okay, it's a bit wordy. And to distribute them, this is, I think, one of the participatory pieces, right? That today, anybody can put it out there, and if you don't put it out there, you are, I don't want to say you're, you know, not participating, but you're missing out on a piece of that sort of community that is evolving. And being able to adapt, I just want to make a comment about that, because, you know, mashups and the idea of using other people's work and changing it around into something new, that's very much a piece and a part of, that's no longer considered taboo to use somebody else's thing and do something with it. More and more people are putting it out there for you to do that. They further went on to describe this literacy and some characteristics of it, so I've just listed them up here. The fact that it's multimodal, the fact that it includes creative, often the word this creative is included, creative fluency, as well as the interpretive facility. So you have to be able to receive it, but you fluently need to be able to create it as well. He talks about, or they mentioned that there's a new grammar out there that we're just beginning to maybe, he says understand, I'm suggesting maybe even develop. How do you put text
audio, visual, all of that together into a message that people can read, can understand. That's a, they call it a grammar. I'm not sure about that, but it's an interesting way of looking at it. Is there one that exists, or are we developing it? Interactive communication. Very few things are one way anymore. That there's, you know, I put out the information, but I open the channels to have the, to have discussion and have people contribute to the development of that, those ideas and that knowledge. The fact that we use media more and more to evoke an emotive response, an emotional response to our content, personal reflections, blogs and things like that, we now have much more of a way to express ourselves emotionally, which means we have to be able to decipher between what's fact and what's not. And they talk about the potential to transform the way we learn. And they, in their discussion around that, they talk about it as being appealing, connected, and relevant to our world, and that's why it transforms learning. Again, I might have some disagreements with them, but that's okay. That's what they say. Now, the last one, I thought I'd look for something a little bit closer to home. And Alberta Education last year did put out a working document, or I forget what they call it, called Inspiring Action. And in it, they're talking about the 21st century skills that learners need to develop, which essentially is talking about 21st century literacy. And one of the reasons I really liked it is because the learner in the beginning, right close, right around the learner, are those basic literacy skills. Being able to read and write and do arithmetic and have numeracy skills. But right around them, or in connected to them, I would say, are all these other kinds of things that we've been talking about. The problem solving, the being able to communicate and collaborate with other people, the lifelong learning and self-direction. The digital literacy might include some of those tools, I suppose, but it's also just being able to do the evaluating, making proper choices about what tools to use and when, and that sort of thing. So all of that supports the subject and disciplinary areas of the content. So they're saying those are the underpinning skills that we all need to have, and of course, basic literacy supports that. And this is where we are all, I would argue, teachers and students alike, are all sort of aiming in our own development of our literacy. Technology? Where does it fit? Well, it might fit in a little corner here. But the purpose is that the technology, or I guess my point is that the technology has a purpose. It's not learning to use the technology for technology's sake. It's learning the technology to support these skills. These are the 21st century skills that we need. And as I said before, the technology is going to change. So, yes, you need to learn how to use a blog. But don't get worried about whether it's Blogger or this or that, because you know what? The current one's going to disappear, or it's going to stop being free, and you're going to have to go find another one. So I would say that it's more important to learn how to learn a piece of technology than it is to learn any particular piece of technology. Because if you wait, if you learn one piece of technology and think that that's it, you've done it, you're going to be back at square one in a very short period of time. We all need to learn how to learn with technology and how to learn about technology. And we have to learn how to do it independently. And for some people, that's easier than others. And some people have further to go than others. But, you know, that's what we're all here about, is trying to help ourselves and help each other and to help our students to do that. I did have one, I found one school here in Red Deer, in Edmonton, that had a blurb on it. It's an elementary school, and I did sort of blow this up a bit so that we could see it. So they've identified their 21st century literacy as innovation, critical thinking, problem solving,
communication, collaboration, initiative, productivity, and responsibility. So you can go to any sort of place and find where an organization, perhaps your own organization, has identified these are the skills that we're aiming for. And then they talk a little bit about other stuff, about being self-directed, and then they talk about technology. That technology plays a role for both teaching and learning in support of these skills. Okay? So the students will need to be effective communicators in audio, in visual, and textual mediums. And they have to be able to be fluent in both receiving and producing those kinds of mediums in order to be able to do all of these things. So I thought that was interesting that we've got an elementary school who has an explicit program where they've made that connection. Okay, so before we move on to looking at some specific examples in ESL, I'd like to get some of your ideas about, out of all of these different things, if you've added things to your list, are there any, that was me doing the wrong key. What do you see as sort of, or is anything striking you as being a major theme or a major component of what you might be keeping in mind when you're working with your students, or even in your own life and developing your own 21st century literacy skills? What strikes you as being, out of all these different ways of saying it and stuff, I'm curious about what sense does this make for you in your life personally and as a teacher? Does anybody want to throw something out? I'm putting this under 5 themes and threads. Oops, that's not what I wanted to do. Okay. What strikes you as being 21st century literacy from all of this thing? Is there anything? Or are you just overwhelmed? Yes?
Well, the technology should be a motivator. It should be a motivator to learn. Because
okay. Can you say a bit more about that?
Well, I think we could use it to engage our students, especially the younger ones who are probably digital natives, are more open to it. And I think if we make a point of incorporating it in how we present information or how we involve our students in learning, that we're going to be more motivated to latch onto it and get involved in the learning process.
Okay. Thank you. Yes?
You mean as a tool instead of an end in itself? Because sometimes some of us have been substitute teachers and we get into classrooms and sometimes it just doesn't seem like a tool but an end in itself.
Yes. Okay, let's go ahead over here.
Well, it seems that now the trend of lectures are sort of technology and education. And the other day we had a lecture about iPods. Now they say that the computer is going to go away from our schools and iPods are going to come in. And he said, well, what are your fears? And I said, well, my fears is that am I going to have enough money to keep up with all this technology?
Okay, so there's a theme here that for you is about the costs involved.
Yeah.
Costs involved. Yikes. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Again, as a dinosaur, I was encouraged by the fact that learning a specific piece of software is not as important as learning how to learn new software. The fact that I can do PowerPoint that doesn't guarantee that I can do a future PowerPoint. I must continually learn how to learn software.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, my
Okay.
Hand up first.
All right.
Mine is quite similar though. That really resonated with me that it's not so much about
there are these things and we need to learn it, which was how it used to be, you know, okay, everyone, we're going to learn how to do word processing. But that now it's more of, it's a whole new way of, there are all these new ways of getting information and connecting with people. And it's more of a, I hate to use the expression paradigm shift, but it is, and just sort of seeing things a bit differently and all these new possibilities and being interested in it, not so much as just this knowledge set that we have to use. But it's a whole new way of thinking. Right, and that's where I think it's so important too, though, because they're going to be expected.
The world is the same as North America, as the U.S. and Canada, but that's not necessarily the case. In fact, I know it isn't.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
You know, can I just interject? I have to tell you a story, because I just recently went to Africa for a month's trip, and I was very excited because that was a big, big, big trip for me and the first time I've ever been. And we were being escorted around a Maasai village by this Maasai warrior, and you know, he was very much in traditional garb, and we were walking across the plains of Kenya, and you know, he was carrying his spear and his knife and in the traditional gear, and his cell phone rang. And it was such a disconnect. I mean, we all just cracked up because it's like, this just doesn't make sense, you know? But in that environment, although because their regular phone lines are unreliable, almost everybody has a cell phone, and it's very economical. But it just struck me as when you were talking about that the reality of technology, life is different in all these different places. And yes, and our learners come from many different places, so we don't know where they're coming from. Yeah. Yes?
Never buy the first generation.
Actually, seriously, no. Actually, that is my motto. I usually wait. I'm not one of those people who will get it as soon as it comes out. I'm getting my first iPad because the iPad 4 just came out or whatever it is. So, yeah.
Equitable access.
Yeah.
Because in our district we have refugee classes who we have to highlight that they too need the same technology.
Yes. And absolutely, you know, we are talking about this in a very idealistic way, because the reality is there is still a digital divide, and it's not just across the world, it's locally as well, like on all levels. So yes. And
It can break down the wall, though, because of those situations where you are remote, or or even in your own classroom where you might have great resources, but there are so many, the experts you can bring in, the things you can access when you do use technology. You're not restricted to just what's physically there.
Absolutely. Okay, I just noticed it's already 2:15, which means we've been at this for an hour and we only have 15 minutes left. I never know what happens to time. Okay, so because not too many people have computers here, I was going to show you 4 different ESL sites, and they are in the links to them are in the Google Doc, so you'll be able to explore them on your own after. And they're here in the PowerPoint, which will be shared online with you as well. So you'll be able to go and explore them on your own. What I suggest that maybe we do is explore one of them together right now. And what I would like to do is for us to take a look at it a little bit critically, from the sense of what exactly are the 21st century skills that are being addressed in this particular activity, and if we could increase that in some way, if need be. Okay? And so I'm going to pick, it's always so hard. I mean, there's a beginner one, there's a more advanced one, but okay, so I'm going to pick this one just because I think it has a little bit more, there we go. Here we go. All right.
So what this is this is a wiki, and it actually won a prize for being a global project that was good, for lack of a better. I've only had to do this once before. I don't know why I'm starting to feel sort of burnt out. But anyway, how many people are aware of Glogster or know about Glogs? Okay, not very many. Glogster is a Web 2.0 tool. It's available online. And what it does is it allows you to make multimedia posters. So it sort of set up very simply to be able to put in text, video, audio, visuals, and all that sort of thing to create a poster and publish it. So what happened was this particular teacher out of Croatia started this activity, and she set it up in a wiki. So what we're looking at here is a wiki in Wiki Spaces. And what she did was it's Welcome to the World. And so she had her students create blogs, or these electronic posters, about their country and post it up on the wiki, and then invited other classes from around the world to make posters about their country and to post them up on the wiki. And so what we have here is, I forget how many different classes have been involved. They're all levels, and they're all ages. There are some younger classes as well as adults and from all over the world. And you can see down the side here some of the countries and the different classes that have put up their blogs, their glogs. and in some of them they're even in different languages, because it wasn't necessarily, they didn't have to do it in English. So I noticed that Canada's not there. Anybody up for a challenge? Anyway, what would you like to see?
Turkey.
Turkey? Let's see what glogs from Turkey look like. Okay, so we are the students of a high school from Istanbul, and we'll just have to wait for it to load. And so they've used multimedia. Oh, there we go. Okay, so this is one heck of a big poster. There's another one. There's another one. Whoops, what have I done? I clicked on something. All right. And I just want to pick one. Oh, here, this one sounds good. Let's take a look at this one. Can we open this up? Oh, it's not good. Okay. But you can see it. Oh my goodness, it's very busy. But let's see what this is. In 2004. Okay. Let me pause that one. Let's see what this one is. What's this poster about?
Music.
I think it's about music. All right. So I'm not going to go through it anymore. Let's just take a quick look at another one that maybe isn't about... This one looks like it's got... Oh. A modern art museum. Something about history. And you probably can't read that. Does it have a scroll? I think it does. No. Oh, yes, it does. So you can scroll down to add more text. So this is all about Turkey. But, oh, somebody deleted one. Okay, so all of these different countries had their students create blogs. And they came and they posted and they created a page in this common wiki. And let's see, so here's an All About Us of all the different groups. So they've made an amalgamation of the groups. And here's pictures of all of some of the different classes that worked on. Okay, quick overview of the project. What kinds of skills, sorry, I was where I wanted to be. I forgot I was in a Google Doc over here under it. So when we think about all of these skills that we've talked about and we've seen, that particular project, what kinds of 21st century skills was that activity helping to develop in the students? Anything?
Motivation. You're taking pride in motivation.
Okay, so it was helping to build on their motivation to participate because of pride in their country and making music posters or whatever was of interest to them. Okay, so it personalized it.
Expression.
Okay, so how is that a 21st century skill?
Especially using the technology, so combining all of our old reading and writing in a regular curriculum, in the new grammar.
In the new grammar. Yes, Glogs are actually a really good example of that, where you can bring together different media, it's a very much a multimedia, to express your meaning. And in this case, it was asking them to express very much self things, so creativity and that sort of thing. Yes?
Still research and organization. Also, decision making skills, what kind of music are you going to choose, why? And so there's also those. Go on.
Absolutely. So you needed to think about who's the audience that you're going to be putting this up for. What are they going to want to know about your country out of the things that you can choose from? What's appropriate? And yeah, so lots of decisions to make. Did you have a point too?
Global approach, global learning.
The whole point of connecting globally, getting them to realize that there are students in Turkey, as well as Croatia, as well as the U.S., who are participating in this. So now that you've created yours, you can go and look and find out what similar might be from another country. So yes, it's promoting that global connectedness. Okay? Other kinds of 21st century skills that are involved here?
Ethics.
Tell me about it.
What can be fostered and what cannot be fostered.
Yes, and in making those choices, which music to put on, how did that student get that music? Is that an infringement on copyright? Where did those images come from? Absolutely. Other 21st century skills you can see in this?
Collaboration.
Okay, tell me about that.
Teamwork, and we don't know if they did it in one room or if they were in different rooms working, you know, separately or together, but some kind of teamwork online.
Okay, and so yes, because there's teamwork on many levels here, but collaborating, we don't know if the students, maybe if at each one of them did a poster or if they did them in pairs or small groups, so that could have been a collaboration. There could have been collaboration at the class level, making decisions about who was doing what. There certainly was collaboration on the part of the teachers who were making that, so they were modeling that, even if the students themselves were not setting it up and doing the communicating. The teacher was modeling, collaborating with others globally. Yeah. Can you think of, when you look at this and you look at the skills that we've talked about, can you think of ways that it might be adapted or improved to include other 21st century skills? Is there anything in there that it could have been a richer experience in terms of them developing? Go ahead. Okay, so yes, they could have put them on VoiceThread instead of a wiki, and then they could have responded to each other verbally
and recorded and maybe had a discussion around it. And what do you get then? You actually have interaction. Instead of this way, yes, I can go and look at what those other people did, but I'm not interacting with the students who did it. So I could have, this could have been a richer experience if we'd found a way for the students between the countries to actually interact in some way, textually, synchronously, voice. Yeah.
I personally am intrigued by the fact that it emphasizes that your input has value. If you sit in Upper Lip, Saskatchewan, somebody in Istanbul, Turkey, could be reading your, seeing your poster. So my contribution in this world matters much wider than Saskatchewan.
Absolutely. And I'll just, we are almost done. So I'm just going to show you, where's the VoiceThread one? The VoiceThread one, the second set of it, is where are you from? And you can see on the map that this is where all the people who have participated are from. So it's very heavily in Europe, but you also have had people from all over the globe who've participated in that. And students get very excited to know that when their work is being observed and read by real life people all over the places that they've never even heard of. And then they're starting to like, well, where is this place? And you end up going to the map and finding out, well, this is where Turkey is. You know, so that whole helping people to connect globally, yeah. So I guess the message I want to bring is not one of this is where you have to get by, you know, you don't have to do this in your classes tomorrow. But I think it behooves all of us as teachers to be developing and working towards developing our own 21st century literacy skills, because if we don't have them, we're not going to impart them into our students. So we have to start with us. And we can start small. You don't have to go and do it all, but you can be thinking about these skills in yourself. Where are your weakest areas, or where would you most like to develop some skills? And then sort of pursue it, make some choices, and find out how to learn about these things, and challenge yourself to learn a new tool, and have fun with it. Don't be bullied. That's what I say. Don't be bullied into using technology that you don't want to use. You need to find the technology that you can get excited about, use it, get familiar with it, and you'll be able to make it your own in your teaching, because it'll work in a way that you work. But if somebody's, you know, bullying you into doing it, and it's not your own, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to make the most out of it. So start small, but start. And again, and my other message is, when you're using technology, try to think about it in terms of, what's the bigger picture that you're using it for? What are the skills you're trying to get your students to develop? And if they have to learn a new piece of software, great. Help them to learn how to learn new pieces of software as you're doing it. If they have to learn how to use a mouse, and Kent in the other class came up after and challenged me. He goes, with iPads, you don't need a mouse. So maybe mouse skills aren't going to be the barrier they are for brand new users. But whatever, you know, whatever you're doing, make sure that it's, that there's a reason for it. It's not an end in itself. So I'd like to finish, because I think it's important to have also a sense of humor, and also to keep our own learning in perspective. You may have seen this video, because it's been around for a while, but it's one of my favorites, so if you'll indulge with me.